From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm your host, Jenna Gibson. Anyone who has been following the news from Northeast Asia over the last few months knows the controversy over the THAAD missile defense system. Last week, following a missile test from the DPRK, the U.S. officially deployed THAAD to the Korean Peninsula. And meanwhile, China upped its objections to the system, including possible economic retaliation against South Korea. Here on Korean Context, we obviously talk a lot about Korean issues, and we talk a lot from the Korean and the American perspective. So today I really want to talk to someone about the Chinese point of view on THAAD and this ongoing controversy. So with that in mind, I'm really happy to have Yoon Sun here from the Stimson Center. She is a senior associate with the East Asia Program at the Stimson Center, and her expertise is in Chinese foreign policy, U.S.-China relations, and China's relations with neighboring countries. She is also a non-resident fellow at the Brookings Institution. So Yoon, I really want to thank you for taking your time to share your expertise about this topic that a lot of people are watching really carefully these days.
Sure. Thank you very much for having me.
So can you start by giving us kind of the big picture here from the Chinese perspective? Why are they so opposed to that, and how serious are they about trying to stop this deployment?
As for why, well, everyone is asking why. The Chinese explanation is that they believe this is a military threat to China's nuclear capability. It's because the radar could reach as far as 2,000 kilometers, so the Chinese feel that their military deployment and their military exercises, basically anything military operation inside mainland China, would not be able to escape the radar that the SAST system will encompass, so they feel vulnerable. So there is a security argument there. There is also a political argument where the Chinese argue that what they see this as an effort by the United States to reinforce and re-strengthen their alliance relations with South Korea, and even with the possibility of the integrated missile defense system in Northeast Asia, United States is intending to create a Northeast Asia NATO against China. That's a political dimension. There's also an interesting leadership dimension, which if you look at President Xi Jinping's policy towards the Korean Peninsula since his inauguration in 2013, it's a very interesting shift that Xi Jinping had been trying to pull South Korea closer to China. So there had been a deterioration of relations between China and North Korea. But at the same time, what forms a sharp contrast to that is the warming or the rapprochement between Beijing and Seoul. So it's almost like Xi Jinping's personal foreign policy achievement that under him, under Xi, South Korea has become much closer and much friendlier towards China. So this sad deployment must have been very disappointing for the top Chinese leader that this is his creation, his baby, and his campaign, and now it's not coming to a good result. Judging from the economic sanctions that Beijing has been willing to impose on South Korean, not only government, but primarily South Korean companies, I say that the Chinese are very serious about punishing South Korean entities for the deployment of THAAD. That represents Beijing's determination and their seriousness to stop the deployment. But I also think they understand that at this point, budget has already been allocated, the land has been secured, and the deployment has started. So they have to understand that this is going to happen with or without their support or sanction.
So things have seemed to come to a bit of a head in the last week or so, with China allegedly cracking down on streaming of Korean TV shows, going after Lotte department stores, and possibly banning travel agencies from selling trips to Korea. So what exactly is the calculus here? Why has China seemingly stepped up their economic pushback against the missile defense system?
So why the timing? Well, why the timing is because the deployment is finally going to happen materially. And in the past, although the decision was made, decision to deploy that system was made almost last summer, it was a political decision. So the Chinese have been persistently using different policy instruments, trying to change the calculus, change the decision by the South Korean government. So I would say that until that the deployment is completed, and until the South Korean government tells Beijing unequivocally that this decision is permanent and is final, the Chinese will not stop pushing. So before the deployment is completed, I think Beijing will keep pushing.
So this may be a long shot, but I have a personal theory here. And you can tell me if I'm way off base, but I think that China is killing two birds with one stone here. They're seizing upon an opportunity to cut down on the popularity of Korean pop culture in China, which Beijing has been upset about for years. What do you think about that? Is this about more than just a missile defense system?
That's a very interesting aspect, and it's a very good question. Because if you look at how the Korean pop culture had been received and perceived in China by the Chinese government, you'll find this interesting distinction that basically under President Lee Ming-bak, the Korean pop culture was regarded as almost toxic in China. But we will have to assume that this was very closely linked to the judgment that President Lee Ming-bak was pro-US and anti-China. Then under President Park, the Chinese government policy towards the Korean pop culture was actually quite positive. You would see Korean pop stars appearing on the Chinese New Year's Festival gala on the Chinese Central Television, which is quite a high prominent treatment for foreign movie actors or pop stars. So I would say that the Chinese attitude towards the Korean pop culture is still very much related to the political climate between the two countries. When the political relations are good, the Chinese are more likely to treat Korean pop culture with a positive reception. But when the political relations are bad, you will see that there's almost a ban to show any Korean soap operas on Chinese TV today.
So if I can just follow up on that, given the fact that Korean pop culture, you know, these K-dramas, K-pop, is so popular in China, it's overwhelmingly popular, how successful do you think the Chinese government will be in cracking down? Do you think that fans will accept this block?
That's an interesting question, because you would think that the Chinese public, if they enjoy a Korean TV show or they follow or they like a particular Korean actor, this should not be influenced by the government's decision that don't like that actor, right? Although in China, there is an issue of exposure, that if the actor or the actress that you like is allowed to be shown on the Chinese TV, so now, of course, you're exposed to that person more, and that reinforces a favorable feeling. But if you don't see that person on TV for 2 years, then I think the public's opinion can be swayed that way.
Yeah, this will be really interesting. I will be really curious to see as things go forward, you know, how much are the Korean companies, how much is K-pop, how much are Korean dramas affected going forward? Is there any pushback? I'll be really curious to follow that.
Yeah, so far we haven't seen that much of a pushback from the Chinese general public. You see these anti-Korea demonstrations in some of the Chinese cities as well. You also see that at one point the Korean cars were pretty popular in China, and now there are people who are vandalizing Korean cars on the street. So what that says is the government's ability to influence the public opinion on these matters is really strong. There's also the factor that local governments would assume that the central government want to see this anti-Korea sentiment bubbling from their locale. So sometimes the central government may not be behind a certain movement against a certain Lotte supermarket, but the local government might be.
So some American experts have said that these moves show that Beijing is more serious about putting pressure on South Korea than North Korea. However, China has been doing more recently, including cutting off coal imports from the DPRK. So how does Beijing balance its relationships with Seoul and Pyongyang, especially during times of high tension like this?
It's The balancing act, we don't see much of a balancing act at this very moment because the complaint in China is that, well, how come we end up with bad relations with both North Korea and South Korea? So I would say that the key focus now is for China. One is to put pressure on South Korea to stop this sad deployment. The other one is to look whether there is a possibility to work with the Trump administration. So we don't see much going on between China and North Korea, although naturally the deployment of SAD raises the question back in China again that, well, it turns out that eventually North Korea is loyal to China's interest and eventually South Korea is not trustworthy. So eventually we need to resume our blood alliance with North Koreans. And even I've seen an article by a PLA officer calling for the Chinese government to station troops in North Korea in order to prevent what he calls the Second Korean War from erupting. That would be a very different move because the SAD deployment, of course, has been viewed with a lot of hostility and negativity in China. And for China, what that naturally translates into is a movement towards a closer relationship with North Korea.
Now, the U.S. is clearly in the middle of this, too. We're the ones deploying that, and of course, we're close allies with South Korea. So what advice would you give to the United States in this situation? Is there a way to work with China on the North Korea issue right now? I know President Trump has been really emphasizing the China piece in solving the North Korea problem. Do you think that that's the right way to go?
I think U.S. is doing the right thing. So the deployment of SAD is not about China, it's about North Korea. And if China doesn't like it, it must address the source of the problem, which is the North Korean nuclear provocation. So I think U.S. is absolutely doing the right thing here. And for the Trump administration, U.S. does have this first mover advantage. Because after the Taiwan controversy, the Tsai Ing-wen phone call, and after President Trump's comments in the past about how he is going to punish China for trade, he's going to negotiate with China for a good deal, I think the Chinese are put on alert. They're very sensitive about what U.S. might do to China next, and they are not in a very confident position to challenge President Trump. So that almost gives President Trump and his administration an edge, an advantage over China's policy because China does not want to start a fight with the Trump administration, either over North Korea or over South China Sea. So I feel that there are rooms that U.S. can push China for. For example, there have been talks about more sanctions on North Korea. So China already preempted that. It's like we are already suspending our coal import from North Korea for the rest of this year. What else do you want? You have to be very specific. If you ask us to cut our aid, especially the energy transfer and our food supply to North Korea, United States will have to answer difficult questions like, what if this creates a humanitarian disaster in North Korea? So I think United States will have to be very specific about what it wants China to do and stand ready to answer the counter questions that the Chinese will raise.
So THAAD has arrived on the peninsula, but it's going to take some time to officially deploy everything. But if THAAD deployment is finalized, how do relations between South Korea and China move forward?
It's going to be hard, and it has been hard, and it's going to be hard for the foreseeable future if the THAAD deployment does finalize and complete according to the schedule. I think the Chinese are assuming, and I think a lot of people are assuming, that the progressives are going to win in the presidential election, and there is going to be a different government in South Korea by summer. So I think the Chinese will continue to put pressure on the new government to change their decision, since most of the candidates so far have said that they are not going to revoke the SAD deployment. I think the Chinese will want to negotiate on the scope of the deployment, maybe adjust the scope, or have some technical arrangement with China over how the SAD system will be operationalized in South Korea. So that's their hope. But at the same time, the good thing is the decision was made by President Park's government, and the deployment also started under President Park's government. So I think that gives the new government some leeway to say that, well, this was not decided by me, and it had followed all the legal procedures. So for us to start something against it is going to require a whole nother procedure to revoke that decision. So that's one advantage. I think the development between China and South Korea also very much depends on what's going to happen between the United States and what's going to happen with North Korea. If there is going to be, say, a conflict scenario between US and North Korea, I think that probably will push China, Sino-South Korea relations in a different direction. But if US and North Korea continues its current stalemate, then I think the deterioration of the relations between Beijing and Seoul is likely to continue.
All right. Well, you've given us a lot of great things to think about, but I want to ask you before we go, is there anything else that you think it's important for our listeners to know or understand about the Chinese perspective on THAAD and what's going on the peninsula right now?
I think the situation is evolving quite quickly. The Chinese raised the proposal of double suspension, so for the North Koreans to suspend their nuclear test and missile test, and for US and ROK to suspend their military exercises for the foreseeable future. I don't think either side is going to accept that suspension proposal. But I think the Chinese are still pinning the source of the problem on the Korean Peninsula to the hostility between US and North Korea. Some Chinese diplomats are even saying that, well, we do want to see a bilateral talk between US and North Korea. But of course, include us later. Don't just go ahead and discuss and determine everything. So I think the Chinese have this, what some of my colleagues call exclusion anxiety, that they want to be a part of the process. They don't want to be excluded, and they will be very suspicious about any result from a negotiation that does not include China.
All right. Well, as I said at the beginning, this is something that a lot of people are following very closely, and it's something that we'll continue to follow closely as things move forward. So I really want to thank you for taking the time to share your insights and share the Chinese perspective on this important issue.
Thank you for having me.
That's all for this episode of Korean Context. As always, if you like our podcast, please subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you here again next week.